Chishal Pagoyim. Okay, boys, I. Okay, boys, I, boys, I. Let's begin. Ritzal, let's begin. Pasik, we're up to Pasik. Elosir, Yipacha, Loyola, do not be afraid of the Pachat of the night, Loyola. Do not be afraid of the Mechetz. What is the Mechetz? We say this so often. What is the Mechetz? The Mechetz is the name of a demon. Mechetz, we look at the Mitzudah stuff, it says, Me'ashed ha-me'oifef bayoim ha-chetz. The word Mechetz is an arrow that shoots very quickly, and we're here referring over here to the name, okay, the name of a specific demon whose nature, whose character is, it flies very quickly, and it flies during the day. Most Shedim are only okay, most Shedim only operate in darkness. This demon is unique in that it operates morning, operates during the day, and it operates at lightning speed. So again, the pasuk here is lo, do not be afraid mipacha lo, the fear of night, mechetz, from this demon called mechetz, and is the mei is a prefix, is a part of the shorash of the word. I don't know. I think not. I think it's chetz. I'm not sure if the word mech, the mem, is part of the shorash or it means from. Mipacha lo mechetz. If it would be a prefix, L'chor would say Mi-chetz. The fact that it says Mei-chetz, it sounds like the name is part of the Shoresh. What? Mei.
Why can't it say Mei-chetz?
I don't know. I do not know. Let's look at the Mepharshim. Let's see. Okay. So then the name of the demon is called Chetz, and the Mei is a prefix. That is Yo'uf that flies by day, Mitzudah Stavit on page 829. Lo Sira Ki Al Ki. Okay. It's not a prefix, not the Sherish. The name of the demon is Chetz. And the letter Mem is just telling us it's a prefix. Mei Chetz Yo'uf Yomam Mitzudah Yistavit Pasakei Lo Sira Ki Al Ki Yosuch Olecha, being that Hashem is protecting you, therefore Lo Sira Mipachat Hashedim Hasholtim B'Layla, there's no need to be afraid of the demons that rule at night. And Mei Chetz Mei Hashed HaMe'oifef Bayoim Ka Chetz, and do not be afraid of the demon that roams around, that flies by day. See, it's not even the name. He's not, according to the Mitzvah study, he's not even giving us a name. He's just saying like a demon, Hashed, that flies around during the daytime, like an arrow.
I didn't know they do daytime.
Daytime work, that's right, it's a chiddush. The Shedim, because typically the Shedim are only around at night. Let's see, Lo Sira, look at the Pasuk of Rashi, Lo Sira im tiftach boy, if you have faith in Hashem, there's no need to be afraid of the demons. Mechetz yuf yomam shed hamoifef, that flies ka chetz, like an arrow. Radak pasik hey. Radak says lo siro, do not be afraid. Koyres hazman ufigov heim kachitzim yufu viyavo pisoim al ha'adam yavo bayoim uvalayla. According to the Radak, the word mechetz is not just going on at night. It's not only going on the day, it's going on night. And he's saying the word chetz, he's not even saying demons. He doesn't say anything about demons. He's saying over here is that a person in life, there are always unexpected things. Rahman Litzlan, people come in, different situations come upon a person unexpectedly, like an arrow. An arrow is very quickly, it's swift, and the person doesn't even realize what's happening. And this is just an arrow, is a mashal for occurrences which suddenly overtake a person, and a person is not prepared or did not expect. One more time, this is the Radak. Powerful words here. Lo sira, do not be afraid. Koyrois hazman, occurrences of time. Ufi go'ov, different events which a person meets up with. Heim they are kichitzim, like arrows, yufu, that fly. Viovo pisaim al adam. Yavo vayom v'layla, come by day and by night. V'yamar mipach ha'layla, ki b'nei b'didus ha'layla adam ha'olech yechidi o'yish shoychein b'layla, yechidi mispachet. It's just common that when at night, when it's dark, and you're traveling alone, you're in a state of pachat. V'soyar ho'ifo lachetz, the description of flying is ascribed to an arrow, because arrows go just they're very quick. The poison. Okay, he's giving over here another idea. Over here is that this was common that the arrows were laced with poison. Okay, because the impact of the arrow does not necessarily kill the person. If the arrow injures a person, it's not necessarily lethal. But when the tip of the arrow that was very common in ancient times, was laced with poison, so it's not the wound of the arrow that causes the harm. It's the poison.
It's not necessarily lethal.
But the poison that is on the surface of the arrow, which enters the blood or the person's body, that can be even more dangerous than the impact of the arrow. Okay, those are the three major mepharshim over here. Maybe we should go. Let's look at the Malbim quickly. The Malbim, pasuk hey, lo siro bipach aloyla, return lemer ayidei sheyatzilcha bipach yokush. Being that Hashem will protect you from a trap, shel bnei adam lo siro mehem bein lishoydei laila bitzina bein bayom shegam im yuuf achetz min haloichem kinegdecha yelucha tzkitzina lahatzilcha michetz yuuf imam. The Malbim appears to is the two parts of the pasuk. The nighttime is people that try to attack you, to destroy you secretly. And then by day, there are people that are trying to destroy you openly. Nighttime is a form of harm that is brought upon a person secretly, and there's a harm that comes in the darkness.
You don't see it coming until it's too late.
You don't see it until correct. Okay. Now look at the Targum.
If a guy standing in front of you with a sword or something, you see it.
Targum says over here is a little spice to this pasuk, bitlal shechinte, okay, pasuk, well, I'll say pasuk, lo sidchal, do not be afraid, min delucha demazike, do not be afraid of the delucha demazike, the ozlin belelia. Now, what does it mean? I don't know what that word means, delucha demazike, the ozlin belelia, I don't know what that means. And then it goes, min girda de malach mosa. That's the part I want to focus on. Do not be afraid of the girda, means the arrow of the malach hamaves. Dishti bimama, that is, I don't know what dishti means. The bimama that is present. What? That has been thrown. It's been thrown bimama. So he puts over here that mecheitz yo'uf yo'imam is a code word for the malach hamaves. You have nothing to worry about the lucha de mazike de ozlin belelia, the mazikin. There are some forces of mazikim, whatever these forces are at night, that can cause harm, and during the daytime is the domain of the malach hamaves. It's a whole new malach, the mazikin you have in the Gemara, the Masechta Brachos. From the many examples of mazikim, shadim, in the beginning of Masech the Brachos, and one of the common denominators of all of those mazikim is they only operate at night. Different stories, they come to the Beis Medrash, you only have to worry about what goes on at night. At night, these mazikim are let loose. But daytime, there are no mazikim. Yeah, there's something a lot worse during the day. And that is the malach hamaves. The malach hamaves has shlita by day, and over here the pasuk tells you have nothing to worry about, not from the pachad loyla of the mazikim, and not from the mecheitz yo'uf yo'imam code words. This is an expression describing the malach hamaves. Let's go to the next. Let's go to the pasuk.
Don't be afraid from fear.
You're saying a very powerful verse. Don't be afraid of fear. Mipachad. In other words, don't be afraid. So that's telling you, you know, almost all of these expressions that we have, you know, the connected kolat arukuli. You're saying very good. Lo si rami pachad. You have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Well,
Well, you have that in. You have
who
that
said that?
The beginning of Vayishlach. By Roy Yaakov, we own by Eitz Elo. That's the Pshat that we learned. He was upset with himself because he was afraid.
Yaakov was upset
was
that he was afraid.
Because God promised there that he would Vishakti Vishalom of Eitz Avi, and now he was scared.
Okay.
And he wanted him that he should be more confident because God made him a promise. So why am I nervous?
Very good. You can take all of these expressions, most of them are mamish keneged kol haTorah kula. What is it? In America, you have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I don't know. I always hold Russia. The Torah is total nonsense. In the Torah, it is like total nonsense. The pursuit of happiness. These very common expressions. They sound all very, very nice. But when you study them from a Torah perspective, they're off. They're off. It's very nice. It's very good. But it's not correct. Here is another example. Like you said, that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Here it says, no, you don't lo sira mi pachat. You're saying very good, Rav Kalman. No, you have nothing to be afraid of, not even from fear. Even fear, when you're in the shadow of Hashem, you're safe. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk vav midever ba'ofel yahaloich. I'm on page 830. I'm now on page 830. We're up to pasuk vav midever ba'ofel yahaloich miketev yoshud tzoharoyim. More demons. Let's look at the Mitzudois David for some precision. Look first in the Mitzudois Tzion, because these words are very difficult. But Ophel. Ophel is darkness. Okay, mi ketev. Nikra ke mi inyan kirisa. Ketev means to cut down. Kemo ehi kot v'cho she'ol. You'll be cut down to the grave. Now look at the Mitzudois David. Mi dever men amazik dever. Haholich Bofel. It sounds like it's the name of a demon, according to the Mitzvah. Rashi says so beferish. Okay, we'll hold it for Rashi 1 second. But Midever is the name of a demon. And when does this demon operate? He operates Bofel in thick darkness. There are different types of atmospheres, different types of times of the day. There's Choshech, there's Ophel, there is Chashecha. During the daytime, there are different times of the day which have different properties, and there's a time of the day called Ophel, and during Ophel is when the demon Dever is given rain. Mi Dever. Notice here it's a chirik. Before it was a tsere, it was mechetz. Here it's mi dever from fine in a chanami. Different punctuations, different parts of the pasuk. You're right. But the men of Mo is a prefix from mi dever. It's the name of a demon who operates at the time of the day called Ophel. Yahaloch, it is wandering about. The demon of Ophel is Yahaloch. The demon called Ketev, what does it do? It's Yoshud. Tzohoroyim, Mitzudois David, Menamazik Ketev, Hashoidei that plunders, Nafshois, Neshamois, Be'ez at the time Hatzohorayim, in the late afternoon. So the word Yoshud is its nature, what it does, and Tzohoroyim is the time of the day. Every demon has its day in its time. The demon called Dever, it operates at the time of Ophel. The demon called Ketev, it operates at the time of Tzohoroyim. Dever, what is Dever? It says it's Yahaloich. It has, it has its strides. Every creature, I'll give you an example, it's an interesting concept. Every person, they know this today scientifically. I know someone who doesn't do this anymore. He used to mamish work on this. He had a business. The business now, I don't know if he sold it or doesn't operate it, but very, very sophisticated technology where you combine. We have cameras, right? You have over here cameras? You have a camera. A camera just sees you. Okay, let's explain like this. Everyone has a smartphone. Everyone knows that you may have a setting where the smartphone can identify you. Face recognition. Camera looks at a person. There are certain features about points, and that can be translated into an algorithm, and every single person is a unique face, and a computer today has enough sophistication that can figure out who you are. However, this technology is severely limited to about 5 feet. 5 feet. Within 5 feet, the computer is phenomenal, can figure out who you are, face recognition. Once you get past five feet, it's not so easy for the computer to figure out who you are. And if you get, let's say, 25 feet away, it's really bad news. So this fellow that I know is a frum guy, he's a Hasidish guy, he invented a technology, face recognition, that can tell who you are from even 50 feet away. And the way it's done, it's very simple, the way it's done is, you don't just use one camera, you use two, three cameras. So you have two, three cameras, each camera has a different angle. So when you combine the different dimensions of multiple cameras, even if the two cameras are right next to each other, you'd be surprised how little you need. You have two, three cameras looking at a person from a distance of 50 feet away. So when you combine three cameras together, three different perspectives,
three-dimensional.
Right, so he invented this technology. Maybe today, he has a lot of competitors today, and they can right away tell a person from far, far away, and they actually use like in buildings, elevators.
Yeah,
come to a building.
Uses it by Global Electric.
Now,
who I was as I was walking down.
How far away?
It was far.
Oh, so this is a new technology.
The length of the thing. And he says, just sit there, come up front.
To be able to tell you who you are. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi. That's only because they had multiple cameras at different angles, and they all come together. Now that technology, now this is something very fascinating. We all know that everyone has a unique fingerprint. Not necessarily, but everyone has a unique fingerprint. Everyone has a unique, the iris of the eye. There's a lot of different technologies to make it unique. There is something fascinating that every single person in this world has a unique walk, stride,
gait.
Every person has a unique gait. And Chazal already knew this. How do they know this? Because in the avoid of the Beis HaMikdash, there are four avoidas. There is Shechita, Kabbalah, Hoylacha. What is Hoylacha? I understand Shechita, you have to take the life of the animal. Kabbalah, practical, you need Kabbalah Dam. What's this thing that is an avoid called Hoylacha? To walk, take the blood from the Mokam HaShechita, and they have to walk with the blood to the Mizbeach. Every single person in this world, the same way, have a unique fingerprint, unique DNA, your gait. Isn't it amazing? Your gait is unique. You can't copy. It's just built in, and maybe you can't tell, a human can't tell, but a computer analyzes your gait, can figure out who you are based on your gait. So if a person wears a mask, covers his face, and he cannot be identified with facial recognition, and you cannot be identified with your DNA, with your blood, or some other physical, the computer can figure out who you are based on watching you walk. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing technology.
It's pretty decent, but it's not guaranteed. It's not like a fingerprint.
Okay, as
because
time
goes... I've seen people who walk, and I said, I recognized the person from two blocks away.
How they walk.
But it was his son. It was the person's son, and I said...
Okay, but the computer...
The
computer can recognize. You are correct. We are limited in what we can recognize, but a computer which can watch to the mashu shema mashu can identify a person by their gait, their stride.
But even the facial recognition is, I don't think it's 1,000% perfect.
Okay, it's getting better.
Google sends me all the time memories, collage of memories, right?
Right.
More often than not, one of the pictures is my brother.
Interesting. Okay. I know you.
A lot like me.
I know. I have my phone, thousands of pictures, and I go and I identify one person. So everyone can do this on their phone. It will show me and make me an album of every single picture that I have stored in the cloud, that person. I identify one person, I give it a name, and then it pulls out every facial recognition. It makes some mistakes. I once did for Mayor. I did a search for Mayor Appledorf. He showed me a picture of Santa Claus. Santa Claus, and I'm telling you that picture. You know, I showed it to Mayor. Looks just like Mayor. Okay, I took a picture of Mayor Appledorf, and I asked Google to go on the web and to find me every picture it can find, and it found me this picture of a Santa Claus, and Mayor. I don't know. It looks just like it's just a spitting image of you, spitting. You have a second job here, Mayor?
A side job?
Seasonal.
All right, it makes mistakes. Seasonal. Now, let's not get bogged down. The reason why I'm telling you this is, Dvarm Shutim, is because notice here we have demons. And each of the demons is described with their own method of traveling. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Dever, it's Be'ofel Yahaloich. The word Yahaloich is used. When it comes to the Ketev, the expression is Yoshud, it's Yoshud. Now Yoshud, Mitzudistav it says it's a violent, destroys, it plunders. But the Yoshud, if I'm not mistaken, you look carefully, some of the other Farshim, Yoshud is just another way of describing. The word Yoshud simply here means that it's a ganav. It's a ganav, it's a plunderer. But if I'm not mistaken, someone here explains the word Yoshud is just a way of a movement. It's a certain type, it's a certain type of motion. Okay, and go back to the previous pasuk, lo simi pacha loyla, from the mecheitz, that's yo'uf. See, the mecheitz is yo'uf, it flies. The dever, that's in the ofel, it's yahaloich. And the ketev is yoshud. And each one has a time. The pachad, you know, if you want to say this a little bit, maybe a little extreme to say, is that pachad is the name of a demon. Okay, we like to say the word pachad. Pachad is fear. It's an emotion. Don't be afraid that maybe pachad in this pasuk, to be consistent with everything else in these psukim, is pachad is the name of a demon. And when does pachad operate? It operates in the loyla. There's a demon called mecheitz. When does it operate? It operates in the yomam. There's a demon called dever. When does it operate? In the time called ofel. And there's a demon called ketev. And when does it operate? It operates in the tzohorayim. There is, every creature has its time and place. Every creature has its unique method. The method of the pachad is fear. The method of mecheitz is it doesn't say what it does. It's quick. I guess that the fact that it's called mecheitz, its uniqueness is its swift, its character. The character of ofel, of dever, I guess it's a sudden plague, death. And ketev, what it does, it's yoshud. Every creature, including the spiritual forces, it's not a chiddush, has its unique characteristics. Animals, birds, Hashem gives every creature what it needs to operate and do its thing. They have now, it's fascinating, I watched some of these videos, you get little clips on WhatsApp, is that today with technology, today, you know, with flying aviation, and this has been going on for a very long time, is I mean, you know, since the Wright brothers who made their first airplane, which was pretty much pathetic compared to what we can do today, is all the technology, I've seen this already a few times online, all the technology in flying today is derived from stunning birds. Birds, when they fly, there are a lot of different types of birds, all the whole variety, we know in Chazal, about kosher birds, non-kosher birds, and the motions, the way the birds fly, are extremely sophisticated. Their wing movements are not just, you know, they go up and down, they turn and twist, they engage in extremely sophisticated movements which enable them to maneuver in ways that are just astonishing. And now with computers, it showed demonstration how the computer AI and all these other technologies takes birds, analyzes their wing movements and all the other, you know, all the other features, and then they try to mimic with computers. They take just, you know, some fiberglass and whatever other materials and attach it to a, you know, to a cabin and mimic what they see these sophisticated birds do. It's not just, you know, you have a wing and you have an engine and you have some thrust and it goes up. No, now all the new technology in aviation is that the wings of an airplane should move. Right. All, you know, you go on a 747, the wings, you really hope that those wings are screwed down nice and tight. The wheels shouldn't fall off, fuel thing, the fuel shouldn't leak. The door shouldn't fall off, okay? And the pilot should stay alive during the flight, okay? Shouldn't fall asleep. Every day you hear another crazy story, right? Everything should just stay attached. Don't rock the boat. What?
On a G
Not what we're used to. But all of the new... Look, in the last 10 years, I don't know if you've noticed, in the last 10 years, no longer, it used to be, if you notice, it used to be that all the wings on the airplane were just straight. No more. There's no such thing anymore of a wing that every wing now is curved because of new materials. Right, aerodynamic, because the technology, there's a whole new appreciation. And that's only due to technology and new materials. They never had material that you can bend and can stay permanently bent in the right form and suffer all the abuse that goes on. And every wing you see today on an airplane today, it's not straight.
No.
There's a curve.
And the thing that goes up
and down. And it goes at the very end. It's, yeah. Because it saves energy, it saves fuel, it's everything. But now, all the new technology is that the wings should not just be stationary. The wings should actually move. And the movements is just an imitation of what birds do. And what the birds are doing are way more sophisticated than what a human can do. You know how much programming goes, now they're able to do this, but you know how much programming went, when I was a kid, they showed us. When I was like in elementary school, they showed the computer robotics. So here's a grapefruit, and you go like this, you turn it in your hand. Do you know how much code, how many years it took programmers to get a robot to do that? To be able, what a person can naturally do, to take a ball and in their hand spin it?
The morale did it much earlier.
The morale? To go do this? The amount of sophistication to program a computer to do what I'm doing over here, it took years. Years, right, to do this. It's unbelievable, but be able to continue, it's unbelievable. Why? The point over here is every single creature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them a unique talent. Unique. And you see this even when it comes to the demons HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given, even the demons HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see from the language, the nuance of expression, they've been given a unique talent. Let's look at the Mitzvah of Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav says, Min Mazik Dever, the Mazik Dever, HaHodech Bo Ofel, he calls the word Dever the name of a Mazik. Miketev, that's a famous one. Okay, Miketev, Meridi, okay, this is the one. Ketev is, for some reason, is more popular, has more stats, baseball cards. No, it's more. That talks about these demons. Okay, miketev and amazek ketev hashoded nefashoyes beis chat soharayim. It shoded. It plunders souls in the afternoon. Rashi, the Ramah of Pasuk Vav, midever miketev shemois shedim heim. Zemazek balayla vezemazek bat soharayim. Yoshud is yeshoded. It plunders. Radak Pasuk Vav midever beofel yaloch balayla mebnei hakirus. Okay, is a new idea, cold. Midever ba'ofel yahaloch. In the evening is ofel, it travel, because of the coldness, that's, I don't know, he's saying over here another idea about the reason why the dever is prominent in the evening is because it's, that's when it's cold. I don't know what that means. Uvat saharayim, b'bnei hachamimus, he's adding here temperature is also a factor. The ketev kemo ehi cut v'chashol, the word ketev means to cut down yoshud b'shuruk kemo b'cholam v'chein. Okay, he's going some grammar over here. Gabalde hadrash mefarshim dever ha'ofel v'ketev hatzoraim divar hashedim, whatever this means. V'chein hibo mitzilch ela, that's the next pasuk. Okay, the Rambam, the Hilk Rambam holds, there's no such thing as Shadim. You added the word now. The Rambam says, Rambam is a rationalist. Okay, this big discussion, Torah is the rationalistic approach to the study of Talmud. There's no such thing as supernatural forces. Rambam is very much against this. There's only the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's it. Don't bring in a world, it sounds like the pantheon, it's like Greek mythology. This is dangerous stuff. You talk about different demons and gods. This is all avoid the Zohar Apikursis, to give any power, any authority to any intermediary. This is very, very dangerous stuff. It's bad enough we have to deal with the sun, the moon, and the stars, things that we can see and we can touch. You want to go give them power? Okay, there's a whole science about that the sun is independent. The sun has independent power. The moon has power, and this leads to avodah zarah. You get you have to be very careful how you talk about. Does the sun make a decision? Does the sun have free will? Does the moon have free will? Maybe a little bit. Okay, scientists don't know. They don't know today why there are sunspots, and they analyze this. You always hear in the news that the sun is misbehaving. The sun is doing strange things that we have not seen this in generations. Why are there so many explosions on the sun? And there's so many this, so many that. And that's why we're having global warming, blah, 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 and all this stuff. Who knows what they don't know what they're talking about. And we certainly don't understand what they're talking about. And everything, blah, 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 blah. But one thing seems pretty clear is that there is today a lack of understanding in the behavior of the heavenly bodies. We don't understand why the sun and even the moon, why in the certain movements, very small movements that are unpredictable. And why is that happening? There's a magnetic pull here and there. What's going on over here? Is there a possibility that these heavenly bodies have free will?
Where do Malachim fit in?
No. Good question. I don't know where the Malachim fit in. All this stuff is dangerous, dangerous stuff. And the Rambam is very against it. The Rambam says they don't exist. He has very stark words over here. And he writes, V'chachkei ha-mechkar, which means the wise men who are rationalists. The rationalists, they look at the Torah, everything has to intellectual study of the Torah, they disagree, and they say, they Eina moidim bidvar ha-shedim, they don't exist. U'mevatlim oisoy b'moifes, they cancel it, b'moifes. I don't know what that means. Ki einam, maybe means publicly. They've canceled it. They've stopped funding congressional hearings to cancel the funding for the Shadim. And once they're no longer funded by your taxpayer dollars.
I'm not so sure they have.
What? They're running for office. Why the president is the chief? Shindalit.
The
Sar Shel Esav. The Sam is very much alive. Social media. Samach Mem. Social media. Who was the first Hasidic astronaut? Does anyone know? The Moon Catcher. But Sal, you don't like that? I thought you would love that. The Moon Catcher. Too corny. All right, in any event, the Rambam says they don't exist. How could the Rambam say they don't exist? It's so many Mamori Chazal that talk about the Shadim Masech the Brachas. So many Mamori Chazal. So Rav Hutner said, there's a famous Rav Hutner says, of course the Rambam holds that they exist. They existed. But when the Rambam gave a psak that they no longer Torah lav Hashemayim, when the Rambam paskined that they don't exist, they at that moment in time and forward, they cease to exist. Torah lav Hashemayim, and if we on this earth give a psak halacha that they don't exist, they cease to exist. But until the psak was given, they existed. Maybe they served some positive function that was necessary. But in our day and age,
existed then,
but not today.
Now it's gone.
Now it doesn't work anymore. Why? Because we decided that it should no longer work. It's like it's not so far fetched. It's not so far fetched. The Yetzer Hara, this is a Beferish Gemara. Do we understand? You learn Tanakh. Do you understand the whole Tanakh? Nevi'im is they bow down to stone and wood, and the Asherah tree. Avodah Zorah, Avodah Zorah, the Baal, and the Lilim. What's going on here? Does anyone today have a Yetzer Hara to bow down to a piece of wood? To bow down to stone? I know you'll tell me there's other Avodah Zorahs, money, and there's this. Let's be realistic. In time of Chazal, time of Tanakh, people would bow down to the sun, to the moon, to wood, to stone. They would do strange to the Marcolis, do strange things. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So what is the answer? The answer is Chazal says it's Feresh Gemara. We talk have no understanding. But once upon a time, there was indeed a Yetzahara to worship stone and wood. Now take that idea, and it's not so far fetched to say is this. And what happened? They canceled it. They canceled the time. How did they cancel it? They took it. They put it away in a tube, in an iron tube. What?
I don't think it's totally gone.
It was diminished. Fine, whatever it is. But today, no one is bowing down to stone and wood. No one. Anyone that bows down to stone and wood is put in a mental institute. It's ridiculous. And yet the whole Chumash, so the Gemara says that when they came to rebuild the Bayasheni, there was an incredible Yetzirah, right. and the Anshei Knesset Agdol acknowledge that if we allow it to exist, it's just going to be business as usual, and the same cycle will repeat itself. They will mispalel a piska. Then Hashemayim came down that said, "Emes, your." A realization, and that it's just a waste of time to proceed if this the Yetzirah is going to dance amongst us is correct, and Hashem gave them the koyach to cancel the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Does that mean it was killed? Doesn't seem so. It was put away in a tube, and it was put in solitary confinement. Supermax. What?
Did they move on to do a different type of?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. That's the whole topic of this. I think it's machlokes is the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, what you just said. But basically, from the Bavli, it says is that the Yetzirah of the Zohar was put in a supermax prison. Maybe it's like the mafia. They're operating. They're in control. They're calling the shots from inside the supermax prison. Okay, but the Yetzirah was put away in a supermax iron tube with a seal, and it's no longer available. The same way, lead. The same way. Rabbi Yisai, the same way that is true when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, it's exactly the same principle when it comes to Shadim and these demons, and maybe even Malachim. I don't know, that's a dangerous thing to say. Is Gzelu Mazeh, is that, what do you mean there's no Shadim? The whole Talmud is full of Shadim. This and that. Tehillim is no shadim. What, you're not going to go acknowledge Lo Siri Pachalum Lailam Mechetz with Yoimam Midever Ashmadai Gemaris? No shadim? What are you talking about? There are no shadim. Well, did Chazal cancel the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah? They certainly did. That no one can deny. The same way it was canceled, it was put away in a supermax prison, the shadim were also canceled. They were round up, collected, and locked up. And therefore, that's why today you don't hear about Shadim. No one knows from Shadim. We've never heard anyone of you. No, you don't hear from these things today. Shadim. It's ridiculous. We're not living.
You don't have a
dibbuk? What? The last dibbuk wasn't the last known authentic dibbuk that was known to be authentic was the time of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim.
That's in our
purview, our times, to a degree. Okay, but I don't know what to say. There's never been a claim of an authentic dibbuk since the time of the Chafetz Chaim. There is witnesses, eyewitnesses that are reliable eyewitnesses that have been passed down about the maisa with the dibbuk in the time of the Chafetz Chaim. Fine. Since then, we have not heard of such a thing. So the same way, this idea from Rav Chutner is not a joke. It's Einochinami. There definitely, once upon a time, were Shadim, all these forces, which are very, very dangerous, and maybe Koiches of Tuma, of Kishuf, and all these other things, but the same, there's a precedent for this. The same way Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGedoyla, cancelled the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, they have cancelled the forces, these forces, these demons that existed in previous generations, they're no longer active in our times. So it's you know, so what is it? So with the Rambam who he calls, he gives a term to the Rambam, the rationalist. Okay, the rationalist versus what is the other term, Rambam Chol? The rationalist versus there's another term for the ones that are not rational. Learn the Torah. No. No, there's a term. No, let's keep going. There are two terms. He calls here the Rambam, he calls him the Chachmei HaMechkor, the wise men who are rationalists. Everything has to make sense intellectually, logically. There's no such thing as mystical things.
Scientific?
There's no, yes, a scientific approach to the study of the Torah. There's no such thing as mystical forces of demons and things that don't make any sense. You can't ignore it. They were canceled, just like we can prove, just like, and the precedent that such a thing can happen is the Gemara of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Let's go further.
So he eliminated this
Mizmah? No, what do you mean eliminated? Now, they existed, but right now these forces don't exist.
Don't worry about them. Don't
you don't have to worry about Ketev, and you don't have to worry about Dever and all these demons. Pasik Vav. Yipol mitzidcho elef me'ashem. Now, Pasik Zayin. We're now coming that again. These referring over here not to physical beings, demons. Yipol mitzidcho elef, on the right side, Hashem will cause to fall 1,000, mitzidcha, your side. In this context, because we're going to have the right in a few moments, your left. Yipol mitzidcha elef, on the right side, the left side, Hashem will knock out 1,000 of them, or revava, 10,000, miminecha, 10,000. The word revava. Revava is the highest number in the Torah. The Torah, you have 1 through 10, right? You have all the numbers. The highest number in English, you have 1,000. There's no word for 10,000. There is no unique term for the number 10,000. 10,000 is just 1,000 multiplied by 10. That's it. 100,000, just 100 by 1,000. The next number in English is a million. A million. And after a million is a billion. A billion. After a billion comes a trillion. And after a trillion comes...
Quadzillion.
Do you know any Gevirim? Or quadzillion? Any Gevirim out there? And after quadzillion, there's a term. There's a term, there are terms that have been invented in the English language to describe unique terms. In Lashon HaKodesh, the highest number in number is Rivava. Rivava is not just, there's no equivalent in English. Because in English, 10,000 is 1,000. Just 10 times 1,000. Rivava is a unique expression in Hebrew, and it's the highest. Anytime you want to go talk about it, 600,000. So 600,000, shishim ribo.
There are quotes about in the millions, and they just express them as...
ribo. Multiples of
no, yeah,
rivavos.
Rivava squared and things
right,
like that.
Right, the highest number. Shishim ribo, 60 times 10,000. Okay, it's the highest unique. Rive rivos, multiplication. The highest number that you have in Hebrew language, the word ribo, rivava. Urivava miminecha, Hashem will knock out 10,000 on your right side. Elecha to you, lo yigosh. They will not come near. How come it doesn't say blushin rabim? Lo yigoshu. Over here we're dealing with lots of them. It means even one cockroach will not come near you. Let's look at the mitzvah of Pasuk Zayin in the Yipol Af im be'eis hadever yiplu anoshim rabim mitzidcha umi mincha. Now he learns here, not like what I told you, he learns here that this refers to people. And even if during a time be'eis hadever, now the mitzvah over here is telling us over here, he's deviating. First, he tells us in Pasuk Vav that Dever is min hamazik. The mazik Dever. It sounds like it's the name of a demon. Now he says, af im be'es ha-dever, he sounds now like he's talking about over here, not a mazik, but a plague. A plague. I don't know, maybe it's all the same. Whatever he's saying, af im be'es ha-dever yiplu anashim rabim mitzidcha, or an umi mincha mikol makoim eilech lo yigosh ha-dever ha-hu velo yazik lecha, it will not harm you. Okay, when there's a dever, this has always been a mystery. In ancient times, not such ancient times, when there's a dever, why do certain people survive and why some do not survive? Say with COVID, there's probably been studies been done like to no end of there were people during COVID, Rachmana Litzlan, we all know many of them that just passed away immediately, and then there are people that never got sick, nothing. It's like water off a duck. Why? I don't have to go tell you, the researchers, you know, the chromosomes, if you have this chromosome, doc told me that they've done all the research, there are three different chromosomes, if you have all three, you're dead. There's nothing that's going to save you from COVID. If you have one or two, then it all depends. And some people have zero. This is what this doctor told me, big doctor told me. No. Doctor says that was the end. It's all scientific. It's all scientific. There's nothing ruchnius about this. It's all a matter of your DNA, who is vulnerable to this particular disease. Now,
yeah.
Yeah.
I've always found it interesting that Dever, among the Makos, the English translations always struggle with it. To define it,
it's
simply to say it's a plague. Yeah, well.
So, what is a plague? Is a plague? This has been during COVID. A lot of discussion. Is this thing spiritual?
No, it's
scientific. It's purely scientific. Is there a hashkach, a protest to catch it? If you protect yourself, you lock yourself up in a room, a sealed room, so then you can protect yourself. Who knows? No one knows. No one knows.
There's a metaphysical element to it, but still, it's the end result is a business.
There have been so many people that did everything right. They locked themselves up, had no contact with the outside world, and they still got it, and they still died. They locked themselves up, and you know all these stories. How do you understand this? They'll tell you it's in the water. It's in the water. It's
some that gay foot from my courage. Oh. If you're going to believe that's the way it works.
So you want to say it's spiritual. It's
so
handpicked.
It's manifested in a physical way, but it's a magefa.
There's an unusual hashkacha who Hashem wants. Hashem is selecting who he wants, and he's doing it through a scientific way. 100%. By Makis Bakis Bechoris. It was only the firstborn. Only, well, you tell me it's a gene. The firstborn has a certain gene. It's a scientific method. And it was done by hashkacha. Or no. It's purely Menashemayim. There's an element that is 100% Menashemayim. Who knows how these things work? These are all big
somebody
mysteries.
Somebody didn't die from the Magaifa, somehow else they died if that was what was supposed to happen.
It's hard to understand. One of the saddest things about a lot of these Magaifas is like they have all these sorts of people, these Holocaust survivors. And each one has a story to tell you how they miraculously, Lamala Miderech HaTeva, survived the Holocaust. And then this happened and that happened, like a cat has seven lives. Some people they have 50 lives. Every step of the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected them, and unusual things happened, and that's why they're alive today. And then came COVID, gone. 1, 2, 3, they died. It's very disturbing. It's very disturbing. They had a life of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected them with unusual, cannot be denied.
That was dead 75 years ago.
And now they were vulnerable, nothing special, no heroics. Have they 1, 2, 3, they got sick, before you blink, they were gone. Very strange. No, it's very disturbing. It's very disturbing is that these people there, they Hashem guarded them 75 years ago in a very unique way. And now, at this point in time in their life, no, nothing. Just like that was it. They just got it. 1, 2, 3. Their time came. You need a lot of emunah. These are very difficult things. Dealing over here with demons. Let's go further. Look over here in the Mitzudos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over here, even when there's going to be a dever, and even when all over the place there are people that are passing away, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to guard you. Even though Yipol Mitzchot HaElef, it's a very frightening translation of the Mitzudos of it. Even though Yipol Mitzchot HaElef, 1,000 people on your left side, people, human beings, have passed away from this Magefa, this dever, and on your right side, 10,000 people have passed away. Eilecha lo yigosh, the magefa, the dever, will not come near you. You are immune to this magefa. When you put your trust in Hashem is machsi umitsudosi, mogini, when Hashem is your trust, even if the world, the common man, their time has come, and whatever Hashem's calculation is, that there should be a magefa and people die, you will not die. Elecha lo yigosh. Many people have a very difficult time with this interpretation. People, Holocaust survivors, it's a very common thing. You read these Holocaust books, is the guilt. So the very common topic. It's people who miraculously survived in the Holocaust. They tell you they live the rest of their life with guilt. Why me? Why me? Everyone I knew there died, was murdered in front of my own eyes, and I survived. Why? Why? What? Why am I special? What have I done? What can I do? What should I do? I don't feel I have anything to offer, and I just live with guilt. And some people will tell you the guilt can be worse, can be even worse than, you know, had they died. So here is telling you, don't worry. People are dying all over the place, but you're going to live. Who wants to live? Who wants to live? If everyone on your right and your left die, and you're a real person, okay, not a make-believe person, but a real person, you want to live? Eilecha lo yigosh, how could I live? The guilt of being the only survivor is very weighs down on a healthy, normal thinking person to a very great degree. This is what he says. The Mitzudos David says, Adam, Yipol, his translation is very difficult to understand. Yipol mitzidchis. If I wouldn't see the mitzvah stuff, I would say it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to knock out the demons. Hashem's going to knock out 1,000 demons on the left, 10,000 on the right, and you're going to survive and live happily ever after because the enemy has been eliminated. Here he's telling you the one that's dying is not the enemy. It's other people, your comrades, your fellow man. They're all perishing from the magefa, and you're going to survive. Really? You really want to survive when everyone else dies? How are you going to live the rest of your life with that guilt? Mitzudas David, Yipol, Af, be'es hadever, Yipolu, anoshim rabim, mitzitcha, umimincha, miko, and from your umimincha, miko makam, elecha lo yigosh hadever, hahu, velo yazik lecha. Okay, if that's not a difficult interpretation, I don't know what is. Rashi, Pasik Zayin, Yipol mitzitcha elef, l'shoin, the word yipol here means they will encamp. The word nafol of here means they're going to take up residence. Illegal aliens are going to take up residence. 1,000 on your left. But ve'elecha lo yikshu, they're not going to harm you. Ve'elecha lo yigash. So Rashi is giving us a little bit more satisfying interpretation, and he told his chiddush though is the word yipol does not mean to be eliminated. It's just coming to build up the danger. You're living in a society, when you walk down the street, there are thousands of enemies wherever you turn. And guess what? You walk down the street, they don't touch you. They don't touch, they get these different, so G'dayla Yisrael, when they made this miraculous escape from the Holocaust, and they went, they walked through checkpoints where they were Nazis, and they were Rishoyim, and it doesn't make any sense how they just walked right by them and escaped. That's what the positive is. Even though Yipol, they will encamp, Yipol does not mean eliminated. It means the enemy will take up residence on all sides, and guess what? Eilecha lo yigosh, and you are invisible to them. They don't touch you. That's Rashi's interpretation. Look at the mitzvah stuff. The pasuk zayin yipol mitzvah elef ba milchama sheyilochamu bnei adam eile im eile v'yiyelcha derech b'neihem v'sira. There'll be a battle. V'sira sheyiplu ba milchama mismolcha umimincha v'ata tavar b'neihem b'shalom. He learns the word yipol means to die. We're dealing with people, the third interpretation of this pasuk. We're dealing with people, and in battle, people are dying all over you. Who's dying? Your comrades or the enemy? It doesn't really say. It doesn't really say. Bamulchama sheyilochamu b'nei adam eile im eile. People will go to battle. V'yiyalucha derech b'neihem. And even though there's a war, there's a world war going on, and everyone is getting killed on both sides. In Ukraine, you know who died in Ukraine and Russia? The lowest estimates, this comes from the Pentagon, is 70,000 young people have been killed in battle in Ukraine. And 300,000 Russians have been killed. Isn't that mind-boggling? And this comes from the Pentagon. Go Google it. I'm not making this up. The Pentagon, that so far, these last 2 years, in the war between Russia and Ukraine, 370,000 human beings have died. For who and for what? Does even one American citizen, can he explain to you what they're fighting about there over there for? 370,000 people, that's the lowest estimate, have been killed. So for what cause? It must have been for a good reason.
Principles.
Principle, what are the principles? what is the reason? What is the reason? Does anyone know what the reason is? Can anyone explain to you with a straight face what exactly they're fighting about? Something doesn't make
sense. Fighting for freedom. What is the Russians fighting
about? Freedom.
Freedom?
Land.
What are they?
Well, their independence. That they don't have.
Something doesn't make any sense. It says there's a war going on. People are dying on both sides. That's what war is. People die on both sides. Their lives are ruined. It's very silly. They show a soldier, a gesunte soldier. It's like very, very frightening. I saw a video of a Ukrainian soldier that must have been 6 feet tall, probably in his 20s, gesunte, lying dead in the field, and they come to him. They find his body, and he's wearing all his gear. Uniform gear and a lot of stuff, and they pull out of his pocket. You know what they find in his pocket? They find a little cartoon that a three-year-old wrote, a little picture. Like the son or the daughter, he made it like with crayons in kindergarten. Daddy, I love you, Daddy. Yeah. That's what he has in his pocket. So this guy went into war, 6'2", gesunte guy, 25 years old. And he went and he was obviously was very well trained. They invested in him a lot of money. They trained him. They gave him weapons. And he was killed. I know there are people that will say, "Oh, this is revenge for the Nazis, the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians killed my great grandfather." Okay, the Ukrainians took my great grandfather. They tied him to a horse. He was target number one. They found him. The Ukrainians. They found him. They tied him to a horse, and they dragged him. They galloped with the horse in the forest. With him attached alive, and they killed him, and he wasn't even buried. So I have no good feelings for the Ukrainians. I guarantee you that. I have no good feelings for the Russians. I have no good feelings for the Nazis. Okay, but I'm not a Kabbalist. I don't know how that translates from 75 years ago to 2024. I don't know how these things work, and whatever Hashem does is aesthetic. But to the average person who looks at this, it's very disturbing. Right? What's going on over here? What's going on over here? I don't know what's going on, but over here he's telling you over here, just war is a dirty, dirty, horrible thing. And any head of state that promotes war, in my book, does something wrong. There's something wrong when a head of state says, "I hope they should attack. I hope they attack." Instead of trying to prevent a war, when a head of state tries to encourage war on both sides, something is not right. Something doesn't make sense over here. In war, people die on the right and on the left. The ata and you ta'avor b'nehem b'shalom. You will survive. V'lo yigash elecha ra oy perushoy al adever. Okay, second interpretation. Sheyiplu b'nei adam b'eis hadever mimincha b'mismolcha rabim. Then the radak in the second interpretation says exactly what the Mitzudas David said. V'elecha lo yigash adever. Dever, there's going to be a plague, people are going to die, and you will survive. Though during COVID, someone said to me, I told this before, said to me, you, don't worry. Nothing, you're going to be okay. You pointed at me, you know why? God only takes the best. You garbage, I'm going to worry. Oh, I feel good now. I'm not joking. Okay, this is what it says. He called three perushim on this shot in this pasuk. Let's look at number four. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim pasuk Zayin says Yipol v'agam sheyipol elef mitzitcha hasmolis v'harvav mimincha al yidei achetz o yadever b'cholzos elech leigosh. Same thing as what it says in the Rashi. He learns like Rashi. Now, what about the Targum? Targum pasuk Zayin Tidkar. Now here he says it a little bit different. Tidkar, remember Shema the Kudsha. The Yiplun means sitar. It will fall from the sitar acher, from the side simoloch. He adds it explicitly, the left side, alpa. The riv vasa, 10,000 min yaminach, livasach to you, lo yigrivun liminza. What does he say over here? He says, say a shame. You have to be fluent in the shemos of Hashem to knock out the demons. If you want to know what to do, 3 o'clock tonight. Mishmar, East 27th Street, Eye in the Dead End. Learn you what it means, this Targum. Sidkar, when you see demons, what you do is Yemazkir, the Shem Hashem. All right, Rabbi Yisai, this is spooky stuff, but there is a practical application to this. And everyone knows this from, I think, who does it say this? They say this from different Gedolei Yisrael. And you hear a lot of Holocaust stories about this. You just know something. You know, recently someone, a Rebbe, high school Rebbe, told me he no longer tells his class Holocaust stories. It's very sad what he told me. A high school Rebbe told me he no longer tells his students Holocaust stories. He says, he sees they're so far removed from the Holocaust, they just don't get it. We grew up Holocaust, mamash, it was like a mamash in front of us. The stories, you know, the we had even assemblies, and I was a little kid, we had an MTJ, we had assemblies, Holocaust Memorial, used to go to the museum. And he says, the kids today, they're living in a new world. They're living, it's just, with I don't know.
Because it's just stories.
I tell them Holocaust stories.
The Yad Vashem or the Holocaust Memorial Museum or something tangible that they can see. In that scene, you're just telling them a story about somebody who got killed.
The stories that made an impact on us, those stories that shook us up, he tells his students, and they look at him with these blank faces. What? It's very disturbing. Because we don't have great, because they don't have grandparents. Right, exactly. Exactly. We didn't have grandparents. Many people didn't have grandparents. We didn't know grandparents. Right. My grandfather was a whole family was wiped out. It was like, and my both sets of grandparents, they were like survivors from families that were murdered, right, that were killed, and there was an enormous cloud of tsar. As I remember as a child, both sets of grandparents, they were just mamish survivors of families that were decimated.
It reminds me what happened to me. I took my mother, she always liked to go to Yad Vashem when we went to Israel. She liked to go to the memorial room, she said a yizk or whatever. But we were walking around because I wanted to learn from her. We came across a woman, most probably Midwest, who knows where, on some farm, never saw anything, never, I don't know, Jewish or even religious, sure enough. And she heard my mother talking to me about the Holocaust. And the woman turned and said, "You're a Holocaust survivor." She never saw a survivor. And the woman broke down because she saw the pictures here. This, she saw my mother.
I think the story that made the news and has been really shook up. Klal Yisrael, and this is already a couple of years ago, is where, and this story made the headlines all over the place, and it brought about to a degree then a need to educate the new generations, where there was a boy by davening, and he sees an old man davening, putting on his tefillin, and he sees a tattoo, a tattoo. So he goes over and he says to him, you know, sir, you know, it's a chatzitza. It's a chatzitza for your tefillin. Chatzitza. That story made the headlines everywhere. Everywhere. What just happened here? It is a revelation of incredible ignorance. Incredible ignorance, how a regular yeshiva boy couldn't go over to see a zokain with a number on his arm and tell him, you know, there's something on your arm, there's a chatzitza.
Why would the yeshiva boy be ignorant?
That was the question. This was before this high school Rebbe. This was way before this high school Rebbe. You know, this high school Rebbe told me the story that used to make the stories that made an impact on him. When he tells over these stories to his students, there's something missing. There's something, an ingredient that's missing. In any event, this targum has relevance. What is the relevance? So my words, like sterling and spurling. Relevance. What is the relevance here? The relevance here is in the Holocaust stories. It's very like you hear often that very great moments of danger, and there's like a segula. I don't like the word segula, but there's a technique to think Hashem hu ho Elokim. Or Ein Oid Milvado. To constantly think these words, Hashem Hu Elokim, or Ein, there's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you totally immerse yourself in that kavana, it is the ultimate Shemira, and nothing can possibly happen to you. And these are Holocaust stories. It didn't work for 6 million people, obviously. 6 million people were brutally murdered. But there are survivors, and these stories, it's a concept. If you completely are able to concentrate on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Elecha Lo Yigash. I believe that concept is rooted in this Targum. This pasuk over here says, Yipol Mitzidcha Elef Revava Miminecha. Let's learn like the interpretation of the interpretation of the word yipol can be made, let's make believe it means to encamp. On the left side, there are 1,000 enemies of the state. And on the right side, there are 10,000. And the Targum says, what should you do? What should you do when you're in a matzav of danger? He says here, titkar shema dekudsha. Think about, mention Hashem's name. Absorb yourself in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then you know what's going to happen. The Yiplun Min Satar Simolach Alpa, all of the enemies will fear. It has to mean they'll fall away on the right, and the Urivavasa Min Yaminach, and the left Livasach Lo Yikrivun Liminzak. They can't touch you. When you, it doesn't say this in the pasuk. Doesn't say this. This is the Targum. Targum over here is adding some mystical thing over here. If you mazkir the Shem Hashem, Ein Oid Mulvado, Yud Kei Vav Kei, whatever this means, when you completely connect yourself, that is the ultimate Shemira. All right, we're out of time. Tomorrow we're going to start with Pasuk Ches. We have to go forward. There's some Midrashim here, but not now. Maybe tomorrow.